Well, there's just a few things in Mel's lesson. What I did was, in my mind, I broke it down to three things. Choice, reconciliation, and then the epiphany of Jesus. Now, if I forget those choices, you can help me with my senility. But first, for choices. It's kind of interesting because both, I think I'm right, in the prayer of the week and also in the gospel, basically what we're doing is we're praying for strength. We're praying for God's grace to be with us as we choose our choices. And we can't do it without God. We can't be good without God. And I think basically everybody that's here, we know that. Or we wouldn't be sitting here, but we are getting warmer. But we wouldn't be sitting here with the thought of possibly freezing to death, trying to worship together, serve each other, worship God, and love God. And just, you know, that's what we're all about. But then we have the Old Testament from Deuteronomy. And basically what that tells us is God is telling them and us, you know, past and present and future, that we have a choice. We're either to choose life and prosperity or death and adversity. Life and prosperity is choosing to have our life with God. In our prosperity is our actions, our love, all we think, all what we do, all what we say, all of that through Jesus Christ, for God and for the glory of God. That's the type of life and prosperity they're talking about. It's not what we think about sometimes. And then, of course, we have death and adversity. If we sin, we are dead. Actually, when we sin, we're at that moment enemies of Jesus Christ. But we have something that the Old Testament people didn't have. We have the Lord Jesus Christ who saved us. Jesus makes God accessible. Jesus makes us be able to repent for our sins and still be close to God. Jesus makes it easy. Jesus makes God accessible to us. He doesn't make it a burden. But in Deuteronomy, and this is for us too, this is like kind of a warning and a hint. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but you are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you will perish. Now, of course, I don't think any of us worship any type of pagan gods at this point. But think about it. What kind of gods with a little g make us sin today? What distracts us from God? Sometimes going to the movie, sometimes we're exhausted, sometimes we might just plain not feeling like being obedient and worshiping God. Sometimes it might be that we stayed out too late. Sometimes we'll use other excuses, housework, lawn work, shoveling snow, which I don't think anybody's interested in now. There's also, you know, there's just thousands of different things. Going to the mall, there's just thousands of things that actually try to distract us from not only our Sunday worship, but our worship every single day of the week. Even if we were to start, and this is what I do sometimes if I kind of get distracted. If we start with even 1 minute or even break it down to 15 seconds in the morning, when we wake up in the morning, we open our eyes and I say, or we can say, I love you, God, I'm going to try to do better today. You know, and just say one quick little prayer. And if you do that as a discipline, it grows. And then comes the relationship. And that's kind of what the next part of all the lessons it's about. It's about relationships, not only between us and our God and our Lord Jesus Christ, but each and every one of us. Matthew says, well, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, well, you shall not murder. Well, what Jesus does with each of these commandments that God has given us is that he's shown us the depth of what it means, the love that's behind it. It's not that we're not supposed to just go out and shoot somebody or knife them or kill them. No, of course we're not supposed to do that. But not murdering goes further than that. How about bullying, gossiping, calling people names, mocking them, ridiculing, slander? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. All of those murder the person's reputation, or it can murder their emotional growth, their spiritual growth. We are to care for one another and encourage one another. And so there's no murder anywhere in God's heaven. That's a sin. So then the next thing, I'm going to go out of order. I'm sorry. The next thing is that thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, Jesus goes even a little bit further. And this is not just for the men, it's for the women too. We are not to even look at someone else with that thought, because that too is a sin. That's adultery. And it goes further. He talks about divorce. Well, back then, a man, and I know that I'll get a giggle, but it's the truth. A man could come home and say, well, you know, I didn't like dinner tonight. Doesn't mean it was burned. It just means that he just didn't feel like whatever she was cooking, and that woman was out. That's what was happening back here in these times. Well, that's not right. So Jesus was trying to wake up everybody, especially the men at that point, but women and men both today. That's not okay. Reconciliation is more important. You can't just divorce somebody for that reason. You know, and back then, it was a lot worse than now, because if a woman was divorced and thrown out on the street, that was it. Her family wouldn't have her back. She usually died. And so Jesus was trying to raise up the idea of taking care of one another and encouraging one another and listening and talking and having a true relationship. And that's what that's all about. And then you shall not swear falsely. In the shortest thing I can explain, Jesus wants us to tell the truth at all times and at all cost. We are to say the truth. If somebody says to me, well, something, I either say yes and my word is true through the Lord, or no and my word is true to the Lord. That's what this is all about. Being accountable, being reconciled, being truthful, being encouraging, and being loving, and most of all, having Jesus as my center, all of us. Now, for the end, what I feel is the epiphany, you know, for Jesus, the epiphany of Jesus was all of that. What was he trying to tell us when he reiterated about the Ten Commandments, but went further? He tells us that reconciliation to God is most important. That's our focus. And when he says this, the very last thing, when you offer your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, and you can see that Jesus did add the sister there, if your brother or sister has something against you, reconciliation is so important that we're to leave our gift at the altar and go talk to that person and try to make amends, or try to talk and have them listen and ourselves listen. Reconciliation is at the heart of Jesus' ministry. So Jesus says, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and or sister. And then what happens? Then you come to the altar and offer your gift to God. Because when whatever we offer God, it can be our entire lives, everything we say, do, and think during the day, whatever we offer to God, if it's offered in love, in reconciliation, and in truth, and by our own free will choice, then it's worthy before the Lord. And then there's a little bit of a warning. If we change that thought and we say, okay, this is us. The judge is God, and this is my life, and this is me going to heaven or to hell. What does Jesus say? Come quickly to terms with your accuser for all of my sins before you get to court, because if you don't, the judge is going to throw you in jail. So it is a warning, but it's not out of fear that we're to learn how to listen to Jesus, know Jesus, love him, and ask forgiveness. It's out of love, because we're secure with Jesus. He loves us no matter what. But is he pleased with everything we do each and every day? I can guarantee you, for me, it's a no. But I know that I can trust in the Lord, and I can turn to him, and I'm going to be in heaven. And so are we. All we have to do is follow him and trust in him.